Frank Chop is one of the most powerful people in Washington State. Mentioned the state speaker of the House in Olympia, and these are the kind of things you hear.
Passionate, inspired leader.
Fierce, determined.
Dedicated.
Indefatigable.
He really, he does inject every issue with a lot of focus on what is in the best interest of the public.
Unrelenting commitment, unrelenting resolve, and unrelenting unwillingness to step back from an important fight on behalf of justice and equality.
Democratic State Representatives Reuben Carlisle and Ruth Kagey sharing their thoughts about Frank Chop. And what Frank Chop cares about has a big impact on what the legislature does. So if Frank Chop is the guy helping shape the future of Washington State, what does he care about? Well, it turns out the answer to that question, to steal Frank Chop's own words, harkens back to when he was a boy in Bremerton.
I grew up in a house that was literally a surplus housing unit from the Navy Yard over there. My dad bought a surplus housing unit for $300. Can you imagine?
$300.
$300. Moved it to a beautiful site with great views of the Olympics. Pretty modest, but it was our own sort of Habitat for Humanity for our own family, in a sense. So that when I remember that I benefited from direct action like that, then that the idea of everybody should have a home is fundamental to what I believe. And so then you then see what we can do next to do the next effort to help people so that everybody has a home.
Now, I saw that as part of your work as an organizer in South Lake Union, the Cascade neighborhood, you built a geodesic dome in a parking lot to protest the demolition of low-income housing. Is that true?
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, I got proof if you want to see pictures. You know, for years I've been trying to suppress that information because I wasn't sure how people would respond, frankly. But, as part of a community group there in Cascade, the community council there, we were protesting demolition of low-income housing. And what they would do is they'd tear down this great housing, very affordable, and leave a parking lot. It's to me total insanity. So to basically protest that, I rented a parking stall for $10 a month, and I built a geodesic dome with my dad, by the way, and I did it to protest the demolition of low-income housing.
A lot of activists stay activists. They don't want to get involved in the political system. Obviously, you made a transition at some point. You decided that you needed to move into politics. Was it a move away from community organizing?
Well, not at all. I consider myself still to be a community organizer. I just happen to be Speaker of the House. Seriously, because I look at various projects, which I've had quite a bit done while I was a community organizer alone and working at a nonprofit agency, the Fremont Public Association. But I found that being in the legislature, you can get a lot more done.
Did you learn anything from your activist years that you were able to take forward when you became a lawmaker?
Actually, definitely. No question about it. In fact, one of my first things that I did when I was working at Fremont Public Association is organize the food banks in this city. And there was about 20-some food banks throughout Seattle. And each year they would be pressed for money and support. And so one or two would go down to City Hall and say, "Please, sir, may we have a little more gruel?" And the city council at the time would say, "Well, if we give it to you, we'd have to give it to everybody." I said, "Okay." So I organized all the food banks together to go down there as one unit to the city. And when you show up and you pack the city council chambers with a couple hundred people and they're all unified, that changes the debate. And the initial amount of money that we got for not only the food banks and the emergency shelters and also community health clinics, the three groups then went in together, started out $500,000. Is now up to over $60 million in city council budgets. And so we saw how if you get people organized and it's for the right cause and that people support that cause, you can achieve a lot.
I'm talking to the Speaker of the House, Frank Chop, a Democrat, about the issues he cares about and what that means for the legislature. We've talked about affordable housing, and I know mental health care is another issue of deep interest to you, Frank Chop. Why is that? Do you have a personal connection to it?
Actually, pretty much everybody I know has a personal connection to that issue. In the old days, there used to be a stigma to talk about mental health. Well, you don't. If that was something in the family, you wouldn't want to talk about it. But rather remarkably, over the last many years, there's been a growing awareness of the issue, in large part because pretty much everybody can think of a friend or a relative or a member of the family who've suffered from mental health issues. So in my case, one of my sisters has had mental health challenges, I'm going to get a little emotional here. Well, okay, so my sister, she was a teacher in the Seattle Public Schools. I was a tremendous teacher, very energetic. Was a great teacher, working with students, doing all these wonderful projects. Well, the family only saw her in her manic phase for many years. And so she then would have crushing depressions, which we didn't know about, until finally we realized what was going on. And so luckily for her, she was a teacher. She had disability insurance. She could rely on Social Security and also Medicare for special health care. And so she was helped by an extended family and the help of the public to get through that. And it was very trying on her and trying for the whole family. But the thing about it was really amazing. One of the most proudest moments of my service in the legislature was sitting in the audience when my sister testified to the Senate Health Care Committee in favor of mental health parity. And I was so proud of her. And we passed the bill.
I mean, it's amazing. She had a family. She had a job that provided her with benefits. And then we think of all the people we see on the street every day, or the people out there who don't have a family, who have nothing.
Well, that's part of the reason I'm so emotional about this, is that it's not just my sister. It's thousands of people across the state who need somebody to stand up for them.
You know, you really showed a connection to the mental health issue by what you told us about. But I'm wondering if you make that personal connection when you're in the room and you're talking to other lawmakers and you're trying to convince them about something that you feel passionately about because of the way you grew up and the housing you had, or other things that connect to you. Is that something that you talk to lawmakers about?
Well, you have to be careful about how you bring it up. But one of the things we passed this year was the DREAM Act, which was addressing a need for the new immigrant young people here to get a fair shake in higher education. I made it a priority. We passed the bill in the House 7 times. Finally, the Senate agreed and adopted it. But what changed the dynamic was not me talking about it so much. It was the young people telling their own personal stories. Huge impact. That was the emotional connection, because they saw the folks and they couldn't just abstractly dismiss them. It was real people asking for something as fundamental, a better chance at life, and a college degree to have a better future for themselves and their families.
You've got this personal connection that you bring to these issues. Can you be a successful politician if you don't have a personal connection to an issue? Can you be persuasive enough to get things done?
Well, I can't. I think it's impossible for somebody in public service to not be connected to these issues. Each one has a different style or personality about it. But fundamentally, everybody's got their own story, and they need to see how that relates to the broader public in order to talk about an issue and see why it matters in people's lives.
State Speaker of the House Frank Chop is with me. That brings us to the next legislative session. It kicks off in just a few short weeks. As you know, there are some veteran Olympia watchers who look at the next session as one of the toughest in decades. Gridlock, overtime, protracted battle, little done. What's your response to those grim predictions?
Well, those predictions are made usually every other year in terms of dealing with Olympia, but we somehow figure out a way to come to agreement and get the job done. It's never perfect from anyone's point of view, but we do move the state forward in many regards.
What's your read of working with the Republicans now? They control the Senate, so you're certainly going to have to come to some compromises. You've been dealing with that situation for about a year. What have you learned about working with Republicans to meet your mutual goals?
Well, actually, when I was first in the legislature, I was deep in the minority. So I've had a lot of experience dealing with people across the aisle. Basically, you focus in on what the issue is and ask the right question. For example, if you get into this political ideology over health care, that could go one way. But if you ask the question, anybody here think a child ought to be denied health care? Well, you get a different answer. So when you appeal to people's basic needs and you show where the public support is, you can move people to the right conclusion. As opposed to getting involved in just war between this or that point of view, you actually reason with people about what makes sense for the people of our state.
Frank Chop, how about your future? You've had a long career in the legislature. Are you looking ahead to leaving the legislature, to retiring? How many more years do you have?
Oh, I don't want to speculate about that. I just think about the next good thing that I could be working on. Like, for example, homes for everybody. Well, I may never achieve all of that that I'd like to do, but you make progress. And at the end of the day, you could go out there and point to the buildings you helped build. That means something.
Democrat Frank Chop, longtime Speaker of the House in the Washington State Legislature. He represents Washington's 43rd Legislative District. It includes parts of Central and North Seattle. In coming weeks on The Record, we'll be hearing from Republican leaders of the legislature to find out what's personally important to them and why. I'm Ross Reynolds.